will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand with the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then he will answer them, Truly, I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into
obsession. Like, we're obsessed with all of that. Look
look at the gospel. I have news. Nations aren't going to be judged at the second coming. The nations go out of existence. Have you heard that? Did you hear that? Nations will be gone. Even this nation is not going to be around at this time when this gospel is happening. Or Canada. Or any country, doesn't matter what. Or institutions, corporations, or sports teams, or I don't know what people talk about. But we're so in love with all of that. You know, how many people have like lost their minds because of politics and because of worldly? Think about it. Political solutions and political problems are temporary. Temporary. You name me any issue of the day, any one of them. Temporary. It's going to be over soon. I don't care about this. Even the worst issue. You know what the worst issue boils down to? You name any sin. Any kind of murder or any sin. It doesn't boil down to that issue at the judgment seat. It boils down to the person at the judgment seat. We're Orthodox Christians, right? So since we're Orthodox Christians, our focus, even when we focus on God, God is Trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is where our beginning is. This is where all the fathers begin their theology from. This is where our church prayers begin from. The persons. We love persons. We care about people, not essences like the Western philosophies do. Even the Western churches have taken that, you know, essences and issues and institutions and persons. That's simple theology, you know. It's one of the things that when I first became Orthodox, I woke up to that and I said, it's not about the what of anything. God is not a what, you see? He's a group of who? Him and him and him. And, you see? Persons. So even if a person in the world, a leader, or some person who talks to you or whatever, tells me, you know, even if they tell me something that hurts on some issue, I disagree completely on this issue, right? Here's the question for you. Does that become more important to you than the salvation of your brother or sister, the one you're talking to? And I'm hearing, in some cases, yes, I can't get past that. Yes, that's too important. Know that. And I'm saying to myself, why are we here? Why are we here in the first place? Why do we have the Holy Body and Blood every week? Why do we stand here and do some teaching from this holy book? You know, Christ's own words, Christ's own gifts to us. And then we still have the problem of making that the center of the world. When I am inconvenienced or disagreed with or persecuted or attacked or whatever, that's more important than my love for the person who's attacking me. That's not Christ. We will be judged on that. That's the criterion for judgment right there. I know it's hard to hear this, right? Because we think we build our little worlds, all of us, in the church and outside of the church for sure. We build our little worlds, and if someone doesn't fit into that, it's very easy to say, well, I don't hate them, I just dismiss them. I tell you, like right now, because of this gospel, it's almost worse. No, it is worse to dismiss them, to simply ignore someone. Because Christ will say, what about that one? Did you care for them? Did you go after them? Did you love them? Did you pray for them? Were you in tears about them? Are they like important to you because your heart is filled with love to the point of being broken? What am I going to say at the judgment seat when I'm asked that question? That's the question. Not about did you believe this or did you believe that. I mean, we have to believe in truth, obviously. But the truth can kill us too. Because you're Orthodox. And since we know so much, we know so much, you know, our Orthodox minds are about this big, because we know so much about the truth. However, that, volume is what I'm judged on. Is my love that big enough to match that truth? Because truth without love, it will kill me. It does kill. It kills me sometimes even day to day in this life. When, you know, my truth has destroyed something or destroyed someone. You see, Christ, if you look at the Gospels like this, doesn't operate that way. He never compromises the truth, but he goes after the person with tears, with love. See, if you're going to go after people, right, who disagree with you, or who disagree with the church even, do it when your heart is broken. Do it as if you're standing at the judgment seat in front of Christ, in fear and trembling about the quality of your love. Do I feed the hungry and take care of everyone? Do it in that shadow. Do it right in that place. Have that image when you're saying to someone you're wrong. About anything. About anything. Even if it's the worst sin, if you're looking at them without that image, that's going to come back at judgment. You see how the judgment works? It's the most fair trial. The most fair, you know, universal tribunal. Which means, as I've given, I receive. First of all, Christ has given us an enormous amount. Right? So you receive that. You take that. But now, the hard part, now I have to apply that. When I hear disagreement, like among people or among nations or among everybody, everybody's disagreeing these days. When we hear disagreement like that, the first approach for us is to go out of this world. To get out of, otherwise you're the problem. You're in the middle of it. You've become like political, politicized. And then we politicize our faith. Go out of yourself, get out of there and go into prayer. You know, I had a spiritual father one time said to me, don't ever open your mouth, never, unless you're in prayer. If you're not in prayer, where do you think the words are coming from? Where do you think, like, that thought is coming from if you're not in prayer? Even, like, in deep prayer at that second. That's just some opinion. That's just some crazy notion that's either been planted by the enemy or comes from the world somewhere that you've heard or maybe from your own imagination or something. But it's not from heaven. It's not from God. See how careful we have to be? And certainly, with each other. With each other. We have to be more careful with each other. I love next week, Communion Sunday and all of that. We have this beautiful line, in the St. Basil, I think, said. St. Basil the Great said, you know, while we stop eating certain foods, let us also not devour each other. It's even more important to fast from that. So what does that mean? So, if I'm tempted to say something, don't. How's that for a fast? If I'm tempted to talk, just don't say it. Especially if I'm tempted to give my opinion to someone, especially if I disagree with them, don't do it. Instead, you go right to God with it. The more we do that, you will become different people. I will become a better priest. We will become together, you know, like really the body of Christ, really the kingdom of heaven. And then I would stake, you know, my whole life, my whole priesthood on the fact that when we go in front of the judgment seat, I would feel much more blessed for you and for myself when we stand there than if we're doing everything right and we know it. And everybody else knows it too, because we've made sure we've told them off. Hold them off, right? So instead, let your heart break a little bit. Let your heart break a little bit for, you name it, all the other faiths, all the other countries, all the people that have harmed me, right? My heart things to break a little bit for them, so that when I go in front of the judgment seat, you know, Christ said, you didn't see them, but you offered them food and drink and visitation and care. You offered it to them. Well, how, Lord? I didn't know. Well, because you offered it to, you know, even in your prayer, even in your thought, even in your, like, unconscious, even in your subconscious, right? It's who you became. You became not a person standing apart from another person. Do you ever think of yourself that way? A person standing apart from another person? Guess what? Jesus Christ has never done that. We do that with him. And then all he does at the judgment seat is recognize that. He says, this one, you know, I never knew you. I never knew you. There comes a time to say that. I never knew you. But it can't be in this life. Because the minute we give up on someone, you see, we stop being Christ. We stop being Orthodox. We stop being, you know, the body of Christ. The deep mystical connection we have with God goes away. Yeah, but I disagree with those who kill and those who... Me too. We all disagree, right? Even more reason to love them through it. It's the hard, crucifying message of Christianity that so many modern Christians do not want to hear. They want Christianity without this, without the cross. They want Christianity to be like this. My Christianity, my God, I'll make him like in my own image. And then there doesn't have to be all of this dissatisfaction and discomfort and all of that kind of thing. Well, I need to point out problems, but I need to point it out to a person that I'm willing to die for, even if they're like completely the opposite of what I believe. Does that make sense? Am I getting the point across? The point is, I disagree with you completely, but I love you more than anyone on the face of the earth. Why? Because that's what Christ tells me, shows me first here. And secondly, that's what he tells me, that if I want to be like him, if I want to go into the kingdom of heaven, that's who I am. It's not easy. I can't even count on one, two, three hands how many people just within the last couple of weeks have said, that's hard, when we were talking about something. Yeah, but that's hard. That's hard. That's hard. Okay, that's hard. This was hard. Right? When you stand in front of the judgment seat, that's going to be hard. And the only thing that will save you is the amount of mercy that you have shown as well. So Judgment Sunday, it brings us a clear relief what, in fact, the whole Great Lent is all about, what the whole fast in front of you is all about, which is total self-sacrifice, right? Total giving up for the sake of God. But he asks me to do those hard things. Good. Because if he didn't, in other words, if you were able to just think where you are right now in your life, in your spiritual life, in your faults, in your passions, you know, he would leave you right there. He would just say, good enough. And I'll make my decision at the end. How would you like to take that to the judgment seat? I mean, I don't know where you are right now. But chances are that you want to do some work. You want to make some offering to him before the judgment comes, before the end comes, right? Well, this is the criteria. I might not be able to do this and this and this and this and this, all the things that the ascetics and the great elders of the church are doing and have done today. Maybe I can't do it all. You know what I can do? Immediately, I can sacrifice my ego for Christ. Immediately, I can sacrifice that strong will that I have for Christ. If you do that, the judgment seat all of a sudden brightens up for us. That can happen instantly. Instantly. Think about all the saints, the thief on the cross, Mary of Egypt. You know, go down the line about those 11th hour repentances. They were shining at the judgment seat. They will be shining at the judgment seat. Why? Because of the quality of their mercy, their repentance, their love, their unwillingness to look at others negatively, you know? Even when they're sinning, to purify their hearts so much that they don't even recognize sin, because they don't understand what evil is. They're like little babies. They look at the sinner and they say, well, what is going on there? Because they don't have any pollution in their hearts. Take that to the judgment seat. Okay? First of all, take that through great length with you. Start with forgiveness. Ask everybody, and then even people you don't know, for forgiveness. Start with that kind of a spirit. To just be like repentant in front of the whole world. Take that through great length. And you know what? Maybe for the first time I will see the depth, the potential depth of human repentance. My ability to just stop filtering everything through me and start filtering it really through Christ. It's a big task. Yes, it's hard. But that's so hard. Okay, so that's so hard, so I'm not going to even try. No, that's so hard, and Lord, please give me the grace. I invite the grace so that I can do the next step and the next step. So that I can learn to love someone right in the middle of when, like, my head's ready to blow with anger or frustration or, you know, depression or whatever. Instead, I look at Christ and I invite His grace. That's what the saints have all done. That's, by the way, what the saints continue to do. Year in, year out, through their whole life. And it changes them. So that when you walk into their presence, by the way, even after they die, like those who went, you know, on the pilgrimage, those who went to Greece on the pilgrimage with me and saw, like, we went into the big cathedral in Athens, and there you have two saints right there in the big cathedral. Saint Gregory, the patriarch who was killed by the Turks, and today, her feast day is today, this day, Saint Philothea of Athens. You remember she was on this side of the church? Saint Philothea was killed, martyred for the faith, right? But her relics, sweet, shiny, fragrant, that doesn't happen overnight. Yes, it does. But that doesn't happen by not doing anything, by not changing our stances. She died at the hands of those who would kill Christ again and again and again. And they killed her. But she died not with contempt for them, not with hatred of her enemies. She died with love for her enemies. That's the mystery of all the martyrs. If you really want to get kind of to the bottom line of like authentic, radical Christianity, look at the martyrs' lives. Look at how they died. Look what their last thoughts were. Look at how they were like filled with joy for Christ, and even for the other person. Joy for them if they found Christ. Sadness for them because they love them if they didn't find Christ. You see? So when you venerate their saints, what I'm their relics, what I'm saying is that when you kiss Saint Philothea of Athens, my gosh, the grace that abounded because of that love is still infused in her dead body. There's no other way to put it. Her dead body is not a dead body. It's a holy relic. It's still containing the living presence of Christ. And it will be that way until He comes again and reunites that energized, dynamic body with her soul. That's the saints. That could be us. No, that needs to be us, right? Because the minute we start letting that divine, the church calls it energy, it's got grace, you know, that divine presence of Christ more and more here, then when we hear these other talks, you know, like about political and social and economic, it becomes boring. It becomes not only boring, it becomes a little bit distasteful. Like you guys are playing with temporary things. I want to hear conversations about this in the parish hall. I want to hear conversations about when the Son of Man comes again in glory, how will I stand before him? Brother, sister, how will it be when you stand there? Tell me what you're struggling with and then we can make it work with together. I want to hear those conversations. I don't want to hear about, you know, how this situation is going to get solved by this politician. Or I want to hear how Christ is going to solve the problem here in my heart and here in your life and working on that together. Then our judgment is already, you know, prefigured. Our judgment is love. Our judgment is true providential care. It's not something that's arbitrary and temporary and, you know, broken. It's real and it's eternal, okay? So there's something to take with you, you know, like now, all the way to Pascha. This should propel us to Pascha. Because when we're faced with the empty tomb of the resurrected Christ, you know, how can there be any problem in the world? There will be. You'll still be focused on that. We don't take this Sunday very seriously. But those problems will be a million miles away and drowned out, or let's say bathed out in the light of the empty tomb. If you already drown them out, bathe them out with the light of Christ in your own life, in your own heart, in your own sacramental participation, in your own confession. I have one more. Sorry, it's long today. But judgment, you know, the judgment's going to go like that. But the preparation for the judgment needs to be done. The last is this. Confession. You know, to confess my faults, to confess my sins, is essential. And not only to confess them, but to really confess them. I was talking to a priest. This is what's happening today in the church. You know, God help us. Somebody comes to the confession and they're living some kind of a crazy life. Let's just say, I'll make something up. They're living a life of adultery. They're spending a lot of time with their wife's best friend. How's that? On and day, month in, month out, year in, year out, they're doing that. And they go to confession. Right? And no penance, no nothing. It's just, okay, don't do it again. And they do it again. Again. Okay, that's an example. This is a problem for the priest and for the people. This is a big problem. Like, that confession needs to be, for me, as I go to confession, a little icon of the judgment, a little mini judgment. So I have to be ready for everything to change at that minute. Not just to say, well, blah, 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 blah. I did this and this and this, and mix them all up. The real serious ones with the not as serious ones. No, I have to be ready to change something. And I have to be ready to hear some kind of a penance. Like the person who's committed like that, adultery like that, okay, you have to now stay away from Holy Communion until we can sort this out. And it might take 20 years. For you to sort this out, to get it right. But you see, that 20 years is worth this gospel at the judgment. I would rather be quote-unquote judged and start the healing process now in a little quiet corner in confession than standing in front of the whole universe at the end of times. So do it now. Father Hoppe used to say that. What's being whispered in quiet, dark corners of churches is already being shouted out in the kingdom of heaven. So you might as well admit it, enter into the spirit of repentance. Now. That's confession. Everything else we do with confession is like a waste of time. Like describing and the therapies. And I just heard Philip Josiah talk. He was talking about it. He said, confession should be about 5 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. And if you want to have a counseling session, have a counseling session. You know, I know we combine here both, because we don't have as many people. But and the really important part is me admitting my sin with no explanation. No explanation. No justification. And if there's a question that comes and says, well, tell me more about this, then we go into a little bit more. You see? But oftentimes, people are more concerned. concerned with the explanation than with the sin. And that is a problem. At the judgment seat, there will be no explanations, there will be no justifications. Let's get used to that. Let's get used to just saying, looking in the eyes first of Christ and of each other and saying, I'm sorry. It's become a hard thing to do because of our whatever. I'm sorry. If we say that enough from now to the end of our life, Lord have mercy, for instance, I am sorry. We won't be like these people in the gospel. Lord, when did we see you? When did? Every day. Every day. And he'll say to us, I do know you. I know you because you looked into my eyes a lot and said, I am sorry. Go ahead on the inside. And then when the other ones say, I don't know you, I never knew you. That's a different gospel, but it's the same, right? He says, I never knew you. Which means, I never looked at and said, forgive me for my faults. I never brought it to confession and said, here's my problem. I need help. Just to say, I need help with that and that. Now, Lord, give me the grace. Because look at me, this is who I really am. And if you never do that, you're never looking at Christ. That's when he says, I never knew you. All of a sudden, now you're here in front of me, so all of a sudden you're desperate. Please, we have every gift in the church. Confession being one of the biggest. We have every possibility of doing that over and over again. With the priest in confession or with each other. Forgive me. Look in my eyes. I care about you. I want to know you. Right? Your heart. See? All of this will make the judgment seat like, I wouldn't say easy. You know, we all have to still pass through that tribunal, but it'll make it most blessed. Most blessed. Possibly will be most blessed. The kingdom of God for us, or the end of times for us, will be most blessed. Our death, our leaving this life, will be most blessed. Why? Because then we've given our very best. And it's never good enough. Never. But Christ will bless it. He'll say, it's good enough. It's good enough. That's what I want to hear for all of us. The words, you've done well. Lots of sins, lots of faults, lots of passions, but because of this element, the element of your willingness to love more than you love yourself, to ask forgiveness because I am not the center of the universe, that has saved you. Come and join the glory of the kingdom of God. We want to hear those words. Today's a good day to remember the future, to remember what's going to happen, and which words will we hear?